නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ ඒකායනෝ අයං භික්කවේ මග්ගෝ සත්තානං විසුද්ධියා ශෝක පරිද්ධවානං සමතික්කමාය දුක්ඛ දෝමනස්සානං අත්ථගමාය ඥායස්ස අධිගමාය නිබ්බානස්ස සච්චිකිරියාය යදිදං චත්තාරෝ සතිපට්ඨානාති. Dear Dhamma friends, as you all know, we are discussing Satipatthana Sutta these days. So, in Satipatthana Sutta, now we have completed discussing Kayanupassana, that is the mind establishment of mindfulness using the body, and then Vedananupassana, establishing mindfulness using various feelings, and then Chittanupassana, establishing mindfulness at various mental states, and then Dhammanupassana, we are now in the last section. Actually, we have completed about the hindrances, and then we discussed about aggregates, khandhas, and then we discussed ayatanas, that is sense bases, and again last time we have completed Bodhyanga, that is the enlightenment factors, and today we hope to discuss Satcha, that is the noble truths. Now, as we discussed even earlier, so this whole Satipatthana Sutta is somewhat developed or preached in a kind of a progressive manner. So it starts with some very basic practices. And then it, as the yogi develops it or practice it, it gradually leads him to the other levels of understanding. Say, for example, when he starts Kayanupassana, so as he develops Kayanupassana, then automatically, naturally, he'll start to deal with Vedanupassana. So that is the feelings. So it's a kind of a gradual process. It happens in a natural way. And as he practices Vedana, the feelings, and Kayanupassana, at a one given point, he may be able to recognize various mental states, and those actually leads to Chittanupassana, that is the understanding of the mind. So he has the capacity to watch the mind using its mindfulness. He uses mindfulness as a kind of a base, as an oasis, as a vantage point, and while being there, he is now able to look at the mind and to understand various mind states, various thoughts, without being driven by them. Now, typically what happens is, when we get any kind of a thought, we immediately grab it, we immediately attach to it, and we hold it, and we consider it as mine. So as a result, we become a victim of it. But now the situation is different. Now the yogi has understood there's a possibility of recognizing various feelings, thoughts, without being attached to them, without possessing them, without being driven by them. So this is where the difference. So while being mindful, while standing on the mindful island, say space of mindfulness, and then he is able to observe various thoughts. Now, any of these Kayanupassana, Vedanupassana, Chittanupassana, Dhammanupassana can be looked at in a different framework. So that is what we call as noble truths. So Kayanupassana also can lead to understand four noble truths. Vedanupassana also can lead to understand four noble truths. Chittanupassana also can lead to understand four noble truths. And Dhammanupassana also can be used to understand four noble truths. But anyway, in Dhammanupassana specifically, Four Noble Truths are included. Actually, if we consider the section of Dhammanupassana, it is fairly preached or kind of developed in a very progressive manner. If someone couldn't understand some deeper teachings of the Buddha, all those deeper teachings are included there in a practical sense. So one has to practice these teachings on his own way, and Buddha has given the guidelines, so one has to practice them. So as one practice, then he is able to understand very deep aspects of Buddha's teachings. Now, in the Noble Truths. So this framework is somewhat similar to the Ayurvedic approach, where there's a kind of a disease and there is a cause of disease and there is a freedom from disease and there's a path to freedom from disease. So this is a kind of a model that we can even recognize in today's Ayurveda or the recovery systems. And there is a kind of an argument whether Ayurveda copied this kind of a model from the Buddhist teachings, or the other hand, these models or this framework was there even before the Buddha's arrival, Buddha's arising. However, so it is quite a common framework that to wherever possibility one can apply, there is a kind of a disease, there's a kind of a illness, and there's a cause for that illness. And then one can understand, okay, there is a health state as well, the freedom from illness. And there is now a path leading to the freedom from this illness, the kind of recovery of that illness. So this model is fairly available in the Four Noble Truths. So the first noble truth is saying there is suffering, that is the dukkha satya, and then there's a cause of suffering, there's a cause of unsatisfactoriness, and then there's a cessation of this dukkha, unsatisfactoriness, and there's a path leading to the cessation of unsatisfactoriness, path leading to the cessation of dukkha. Now, anyway, there is a big argument about the proper terminology which has to be given for the term dukkha, because you know the term dukkha is a fairly wider or broader sense that Buddha has used. Now, if we consider kind of a very minute, very subtle resistance available in the mind, say suppose you are simply driving a car and you are being stopped by a traffic light. So at that time, assume that you become little impatient. So there's a little resistance to the existing situation. So this traffic light does not give you permission to travel further. So it has made you stopped. So there could be a little, very subtle resistance in your mind. So this is also dukkha. Now assume that there is someone, while you are driving, someone is cutting you off, overtaking you. So there may be a little growing sort of a resistance, kind of a resentment, kind of a anger arising in your mind. So this is also dukkha. Assume that you met with an accident, and there you say got injured, and assumes that bleeding happens or whatever things are happening. So there are kind of a bodily pain is there. So this is also dukkha. And assume that you go through real major situation and kind of a critical situation. There's extreme suffering, very critical suffering, serious suffering is there. So this is also dukkha. So therefore we can understand. So all these range of from very minute type of resistance to extreme dukkha, extreme suffering is included with the framework of dukkha, with the term, umbrella term dukkha. So therefore, it's difficult to say it is the suffering, it is the unsatisfactoriness, it's a kind of a range of dukkha. So that is what we are trying to discuss under the dukkha satya, the noble truth of suffering. We'll use suffering or unsatisfactoriness interchangeably. Anyway, you need to understand it's a broader term that is included in the Pali term dukkha. Now, when we consider the dukkha satya, now, it is typically what we go through. Whenever we go through any kind of unsatisfactoriness, we immediately possess it, thinking like, oh, why am I suffering? Why is it happening to me? Poor me. Every time it is happening to me, everyone else is living happily. All the problems are happening to me. So likewise, we take everything personally and we get entangled in such kind of a thinking. Now, in the dukkha satya, it is not like that. So there the dukkha being observed objectively. So there is no kind of a possessiveness. Rather, there is suffering, there is unsatisfactoriness, and one can look at it objectively. Say, for example, if we go back to Kayanupassana, say you are doing some walking meditation. So there your leg is touching the ground, foot is touching the ground. There you can recognize some hardness. So hardness is a quality, element characteristics, and it is not yours. It is not you. It is not yourself. It is simply hardness. And hardness can be objectively looked at. Hardness can be objectively observed using some mental process. Now, this is the approach that we have to take in each and every noble truth. So, the first noble truth, therefore Buddha mentioned, idam dukkhang ariya sacchang. There is this noble truth of unsatisfactoriness. So, there is. It is not my unsatisfactoriness. It is not that I am suffering. Rather, there is suffering. There is unsatisfactoriness. So now you have to look at it. You have to understand it. So the first of all, the theory part of the noble truth, first noble truth, is that there is unsatisfactoriness. So that you need to recognize it. So whenever your body is going through any kind of a pain, any kind of a, say, sickness, any kind of a subtle resistance, any tension, stress, whatever it is, so that you need to recognize. It is not yours, but it is unsatisfactoriness. It's a pain, it's a tension, it is a stress. So likewise, at that moment, you have to recognize it. So this is the theory. So this is how we need to operate on it. And not only that, then Buddha mentioned, idam dukkha ariya sacchang parinyaya. So you got to understand it properly. From all the possible directions, from all the possible ways, you need to properly, very well understand this suffering. So rather than we try to get rid of suffering, here we need to understand it. So the approach is entirely different. Typically what happens is whenever we go through any kind of an unsatisfactoriness, any sort of a suffering, we immediately want to get rid of it. We want to go away from it. But rather now here, we have to be brave enough to recognize it and even to understand it, properly investigate it. So this is where the difference. So every time, whenever our bodies or mind is going through any sort of resistance, unsatisfactoriness, say uneasiness, pain, despair, whatever it is, so that we need to recognize and also we need to properly understand it. And then once you fully understood it, then Buddha mentioned, dukkhang ariya sacchang parinyatang. So now you have understood the suffering. Now you have fully comprehend the suffering. Now you have fully understood the unsatisfactoriness. So you haven't get rid of it maybe, but you have properly understood it. You have taken it to the consideration. You have taken it to the mindfulness. Mindfully you are observing it, recognizing it. So this is how we are understanding it. Now, in this situation, we can recognize three stages to each truth. The first stage is the pariyatti. That is where kind of a statement, kind of a theory part. So this is idam dukkhang ariya sacchang. So there is unsatisfactoriness. There is some uneasiness. There is resistance. So this is the field that we need to work out. So that is the pariyatti, that is the theory. And on which, what to do there? So in the dukkha saccha, what we need to do is to understand. Parinyatang. So that is the theory, that is the kind of the implementation part. So that is we call patipatti. That is the patipatti. And once we have implemented that methodology, strategy, then we come to a kind of an understanding, kind of a realization. So that is where we can say, okay, I understood suffering. Now there's a realization. So that is in Pali called Pativeda. So Pariyatti, Patipatti and Pativeda. Pariyatti is the theory. Patipatti is the way we need to act upon it. And Pativeda is how we have realized it after we properly act upon it. So these three stages can be recognized in all these three, four truths. So therefore, four truths, and each truth has these three sub-stages, and ultimately there are 12 states or 12 stages. So therefore, typically mention four noble truths, Chaturarya Satya, and 12 kind of a folding, that is where the Dvadasakara. Now, Buddha mentioned, before he understood fully all these four noble truths, and each aspect of the noble truth, what is suffering, and then what is cause of suffering, what is the cessation of suffering, and the path leading to the cessation of suffering, till he properly comprehend it, he haven't declared that he is a Sammasambuddha. But after he understood it fully, then he confirmed, he declared that I am a Sammasambuddha. I am a fully enlightened Buddha. So therefore, you can see there's a kind of a very significant significance in this understanding of Four Noble Truths. And again, as I mentioned, you can recognize Four Noble Truths using Kayanupassana. You can practice Four Noble Truths using Vedananupassana. You can practice Four Noble Truths while in Chittanupassana and again in the Dhammanupassana. Now, when it comes to the first noble truth, the noble truth of suffering, as I mentioned, so it's a kind of a wide range of understanding, that there could be very subtle, very minor kind of a resistance, from there to kind of more resistance, more aversion, more anger, more trying to get rid of, and there may be severe pain, and all these are included in the first noble truth. It's a wide range of dukkha, unsatisfactoriness. Now, what is the cause of the suffering? Now, cause of suffering, Buddha mentioned as the tanha or the craving. So this also we need to understand. So there may be various other causes, but here the significant cause, the important cause Buddha mentioned is the tanha, the craving. So that is the teaching, that is the theory of the second noble truth. So there is cause of suffering. What is that? So that is the tanha, that is the desire, that is the craving, that is the attachment. So in many different ways, so this tanha. Tanha is the cause of suffering. Craving is the cause of suffering. So what we need to do on that, so that is the patipatti, now we are coming on. So what we need to, how we need to act upon it. So that is where Buddha mentioned, dukkha samudayam ariya satchang pahatabbang. Now this cause of suffering has to be let go of. Now in the previous one, it was mentioned the dukkha has to be understood, parinyatam. But here in the second noble truth, Buddha mentioned dukkha samudayam ariya satchang pahatabbang. You need to let it go. Rather than trying to fulfill the desire, rather than try to satisfy the desire, rather than try to gratify the desire, one has to let it go. So this is a completely different approach. So you are recognizing there's a cause of suffering, that is the craving, there's a kind of a desire, and that desire has to be let go of rather than implementing it, rather than satisfying that desire. And again, when it comes to desire, this tanha, so Buddha come up with threefold or three categories, so three types of tanha. Kama tanha, bhava tanha, and vibhava tanha. Kama tanha is the sensual desire. Say as human beings, we all desire for very beautiful sights. We all like to listen to music, songs, whatever the beautiful songs, sounds. And again, we like to sense various odors, incense. And again, we like to feel good, delicious food, the taste. And similarly, we like to have good sensations. That is the tactile sensations, tangibles. So these are called panchakama, the fivefold kind of sense gratification. So this is, all to these, we have kind of a desire. And this is called kama tanha. Actually, before we come to that, we even little explained about the dukkha, where different kinds of dukkha further Buddha has mentioned. Jatipi dukkho, jarapi dukkhang, maranampi dukkhang, appiyehi sampayogo dukkho, piyehi vipayogo dukkho, yampicchanna labbati tampi dukkhang. Likewise, in the first sermon in Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, Buddha elaborates various kinds of suffering. So while getting a birth, one may go through some sort of a suffering, some kind of a pain. And while one getting old, one go through some sort of uncomfortable, uneasy, difficult situation. So that is also dukkha. And during the deathbed, one may go through some severe pain or some suffering, and that is also dukkha. And if you have to associate someone who is whom that you don't like, so that is also suffering. And there could be a possibility that you have to depart apart from you have to be away from your loved ones. Then that is also causing suffering. And ultimately Buddha mentioned that, and again Buddha mentioned that if you are not getting what you want, that is also suffering. Assume that you want to pass an examination but you got failed. Assume that you wanted to sort of get a increment, but you didn't get. You want to get a good job, but you didn't get. You want to get a promotion, but you didn't get. So what? Likewise, so you are desiring something, but you couldn't get that. So as a result, you suffer. As a result, you become stressful. So likewise, various ways of suffering Buddha mentioned. And again, ultimately Buddha mentioned Sankitthena Panchupadana Khanda Dukkha. So attachment to any sort of the aggregates, it may be the form aggregate, it may be the feeling aggregate, it may be the perception aggregate, it could be the formations aggregate, and even the consciousness aggregate. If whenever kind of a clinging happens to any of these aggregates, so it causes unsatisfactoriness. It causes suffering. Now this is how we are, Buddha is taking us more and more subtle or deeper levels of dukkha. So starting with very obvious kind of suffering, some sort of physical pain, physical illnesses, and mental despair, sorrow, lamentation, and all these are sort of suffering. And ultimately, once we go to the very subtle aspect, once you go to very mental related causes, there Buddha mentioned even the attachment to five aggregates, or clinging to five aggregates itself is suffering, causing suffering. So likewise, Buddha explains the First Noble Truth in detail, and that we need to understand. Now, it is not simply by listening to a Dhamma sermon or reading a book, but while we are going through suffering, we need to understand it. So that is how we need to apply this noble truth to our lives. Now, no point of simply understanding the theory if we are not practicing it. So this practice has to be included in our own lives. It is not that we remember it and maybe go into an exam and then write it and then we pass it and we say that we know Four Noble Truths. That is not the point. Rather, as we live our lives, then and there, we need to look at whatever the unsatisfactoriness, whatever the resistance, whatever the mental pain, whatever the bodily pains that we are going through, we are experiencing, that we have to look at in this proper angle. We have to look at them objectively and try to understand it. Then we are actually practicing First Noble Truth. So we have to practically recognize various kinds of dukkha, and there we are actually practicing the First Noble Truth. So it's a kind of a lifetime practice. It is not that you simply know the names and the terminologies and their meanings, and then you say you know Four Noble Truths. Rather, from your own life, experientially, you need to apply these teachings, apply these formulas, what we are discussing today, in your own life, in your own mind, in your own body, and recognize all these, and then we can say, okay, now I am practicing Four Noble Truths. Now I am trying to understand Four Noble Truths using my own life. Now, after mentioning about the First Noble Truth, Buddha goes to the Second Noble Truth. So that is the cause of suffering. And the cause of suffering is mentioned as threefold craving: Kama Tanha, Bhava Tanha, Vibhava Tanha. Kama Tanha is the sensual desire, and that is various kinds of desires we have as human beings. So we like to see some beautiful sceneries. We like to listen good music, beautiful music. We like to feel good incense. And then we like to taste some delicious food, whatever the good tastes. And again, we like to gratify our, say, body using some good sensations, good tactile sensations. Now, this is common to all the human beings. This is common to all the animals. This is common to all the sensual beings. Now, this kind of a desire is available within us. So that is why we are in this world even. This whole human realm is kind of a sensual realm. And even the celestial realms is a sensual realm. So the people or even the celestial beings are looking forward, are attached to trying to satisfy their senses using these five chords of sense pressures. So kind of a pressure-driven principle is there. As much as possible, they try to gratify their senses: eyes, ears, nose, tongue, and the body. So they are trying to satisfy their senses using sights, sounds, smells, tastes, and the tactile sensations. Now this is where the sensual desire, Buddha explains as one cause of suffering. We'll further analyze how it is causing suffering. But anyway, so there's a desire, and one type of desire we all have is the sensual desire. We like to experience beautiful sceneries. We like to experience some good sounds. We like to experience some good, pleasant incense. We like to experience some tasty food, good, delicious tastes. And again, we like to experience some pleasant sensations. So this is a kind of an inherent kind of a desire we all have. So this is a sense desire. This is a kama tanha. And then Buddha mentioned another subtle side of tanha, craving. It is called bhava tanha, sometimes translated as desire for existence. But that is actually a more broader way. But rather, if we apply it to the very minute, practical way, so every time if we consider our mind, we are not satisfied. We are not completely fulfilled. Something is missing. Now, if you consider your own mind, your own life, are you satisfied? Can you say that you are completely fulfilled? I am completely happy. I am fully contented. So you are not typically. So that's why Buddha mentioned Uno Loko Atitto Tanha Dasu. This whole world is something kind of una, not completely fulfilled. Something is missing. Atitto, not satisfied, Tanha Dasu, has become a victim, a slave to the craving, to Tanha. So this is the typical nature of all the beings. All the worldly beings are acting like this. They never satisfy. Very unlikely that they become contented. They are maybe even millionaires, billionaires, but still not happy. They still don't feel that they are completely satisfied. They still want more, more and more. If you have one car, now you need to have another car. If you have one car, you need to go for a better one, brand new one, a latest model. So likewise, every time we are not contented with what we have, we are looking forward to satisfy something more and more. So we are being driven by this desire. So currently, at this moment, at this very moment, you are not satisfied. So you are now expecting to satisfy in the future. So there's always looking forward, always looking to the future, always trying to become. Assume that you are in a some sort of a position in your job, kind of a designation, and but you are not satisfied. And if you are not satisfied at this level, so you want to get promoted, you want to have a promotion, you want to get more money, you want to have a good salary, you want to get an increment. So at the moment you are not satisfied, but looking forward for the next kind of a situation, next promotion, next increment. So likewise, we are always driven by this desire. So we always have a kind of an ambition, and that ambition is driving us towards the future. So always looking forward to the future, and currently I am not happy. If I get that, I will be happy. If I marry her, I will get happy. If I say get a child, then I will get happy. So once my child being become an adolescence, then I'll be happy. So when he get a good job, then I'll be happy. So when he get recovered from his illness, then I'll be happy. When he get married, then I'll be happy. So likewise, we are looking forward to so many things during our whole life. So always at the moment, I am not happy. But if this happens, then I am happy. If this happens, then I am happy. So this desire is driving us. So this is the desire Buddha mentioned as desire to become. Desire to become something else. Desire to become someone else. So this desire is driving us. This desire is bhava tanha. This desire is looking forward. And if you are not satisfied in this life, now you are trying to even to have another life, future life, so that you can be satisfied. Assume that you couldn't fulfill your all desires within this life. Now you say, okay, I'll be reborn in this and this place. So I did a lot of meritorious deeds. With the power of all these meritorious deeds, may I get a heavenly birth in the next life. Now you are wishing even a next life. So you like to exist more and more so that you will be satisfied. You want to get satisfied. So this is how the very present moment desire to become leading to some future events and ultimately even to desire for another future birth. It's a kind of expanding kind of a desire. And then the third category Buddha mentioned, vibhava tanha. So that is where we want to get rid of. Assume that you are going through some suffering, unsatisfactoriness at the moment, and you immediately want to get rid of it. I hate it. I don't want to experience this. I want to come out of this. So likewise, you sort of hate it. You are refusing it. Rather than accepting it, you are refusing it. You are rejecting it. You are resisting it. So this resistance, this rejection, this desire to get rid of is called vibhava tanha. Now these three types of tanha, craving, are fairly interwoven. Assume that you are going through some pain and you want to get rid of it. Now the vibhava tanha is there. And you want to become more free person or more recovered person, more a person, a comfortable person. So there's a kind of a desire to become. Bhava tanha is there. And once you are being there, you want to enjoy. I mean, you know there's a kind of a very beautiful, pleasant state of life, and you want to experience that. You want to have that. You want to enjoy that. Now there's a sensual desire. So all these three types of desires are fairly interconnected. And these are operating very subtle way in our mind. Now, when it comes to the tanha, yayan tanha pono bhavika. So there Buddha mentioned pono bhavika. Now it even cause to give you future birth. Now as we discuss using the bhava tanha, you are not satisfied at this moment and you are desiring a next moment, more happy moment in the future, or more happy state in the future, and more even happy birth in the future. So that actually leads to another birth, Pono Bhavika, future birth. So this is kind of a desire, therefore, tanha, leading to an ongoing sansaric travel. So we are simply not desiring only at this moment, but this moment desire, future desire, desire to become has grown and it is inherent and it is leading even to a future birth, to a next life. Yayan tanha poni pono bhavika nandi raga sahagata. So when you are desiring, it's giving you some sort of a delight, attachment. And this desiring is generating some kind of a delight. So that is why we are desiring. Still we haven't satisfied, but even the thinking about it, wishing about it, imagining about it gives us a lot of thrill, a lot of delight. Nandi raga sahagata. It has some sort of a delight as we are desiring. Tatra tatra abhinandini. Then and there you satisfy. Abhinandana. Then and there you become sort of, once you are attached to something, so there mind get attached and mind is trying to get some sort of a satisfaction. Mind is trying to get kind of a delight. So these are certain aspects Buddha mentioned available in the desire. So these three kinds of desire has that sort of a hidden delight. So as we are desiring it, as we are imagining that I am going to have it, I will do this, I will do that, if I get this, if I become this, if I become someone, not this at this moment, but in the future, if I become someone, if I get a promotion, whatever it is, then I'll be happy. So it's a kind of a imagined happiness. So we are thinking and then internally generating kind of a delight. So we desire. Now, Buddha mentioned in the, now if we apply this little bit to practical sense, to our kayanupassana. Say you are going through some sort of dhatu manasikara. So you can look at various bodily characteristics, sorry, element characteristics, hardness, softness, roughness, smoothness, heaviness, lightness, heat, cold, and say cohesion, fluidity, and etc. So all these are kind of changing phenomena. Now this change, this impermanence, are also causing suffering. So that is another very profound teaching that Buddha mentioned. Yang anicchang tan dukkhang. Whatever is impermanent, whatever is inconstant, is causing unhappiness, is causing unsatisfactoriness, is causing suffering. Say for example, at a given moment, you are happy. But that given moment does not exist long time. It becomes something else. And then immediately you become unhappy because you are attached to some other state. It may be a physical state. It may be a mental state. But it has now become something else, completely a new state. So this new state is not generating that previous. It is completely different from the previous state maybe. So you become unhappy. Say, for example, if we come to a typical, say, country situation. Suppose you assume that kind of a certain group, kind of a political group, come into the power. And you expect some happiness through that, satisfaction through that. And you expect kind of prosperity through that. And then assume that they win the election, then we are happy. But after some time, they change. They can't stay at the same level. So they change. So now you again become unhappy. So similar situation is available in our whole life. So every time we desire, but this desired state can't stay longer. It constantly change. It is an impermanent situation. So during the in the impermanent field, we are trying to fix something. We are trying to kind of a permanency in the impermanent flux. that actually causes suffering. Yang anicchang tandukkang. So whatever is changing, whatever is inconstant, leading to unsatisfactoriness, leading to suffering. Now, if we are able to experience this changing nature in the element characteristics, if we are practicing Kaya Anupassana, so there you can understand, so it can't give you permanent happiness. So whatever these bodily characteristics are constantly changing, they are not remaining the same. They don't have long lifespan. So all these element characteristics changing from moment to moment. It is very transient. So from this side of kind of transient situation, how are you expecting to have a lasting happiness? It is impossible. So if you are able to look at element characteristics using this angle, so while from practicing Dhatu Manasikara, you can apply this Four Noble Truths. So you are experiencing element characteristics and it is suffering because it is changing. Constantly they are changing. They are not remaining at a single state, a desired state. They are constantly changing. And assume that you want to have some kind of element characteristics, but it didn't happen. You want to remove or get rid of kind of an element characteristic, but still it is remaining. So likewise, they are not obeying your desires. They are not obeying your wishes. So it is giving you some unsatisfactoriness. So you recognize this unsatisfactoriness using element characteristics. And once you recognize the unsatisfactoriness, understood the unsatisfactoriness, probably now you can look at why this unsatisfactoriness has arisen. To which am I attached to? What is the desire causing this unsatisfactoriness? So you can understand, recognize this cause, the desire. So during our meditation session, we can understand that. Assume that you want to know more and more details of the element characteristics. But still, they are not visible. You couldn't get sharp mindfulness. You couldn't get, very one-pointed mind. So therefore, you couldn't get the very sharp, clear picture of element characteristics. So there was a desire, but you couldn't fulfill it. So there could be a little resistance. There could be some unsatisfactoriness. Today, my meditation session was not successful. So you are now sort of regretting about it. You are being disappointed about it. Now this is suffering. There you can recognize it. So what is the cause of suffering? There was a kind of an expectation in your session. While you are sitting, you expected something. You expected kind of a blissful experience. You expected some satisfied result. So that you couldn't get. You didn't get. So you become unsatisfied. Now you recognize this desire. So if you are able to let go of that desire, so that unsatisfactoriness may be disappeared. So now the unsatisfactoriness has ceased because you have let go of the desire. Now there's a freedom. Now there's a cessation of suffering, cessation of unsatisfactoriness. Now you recognize that cessation. Actually, we'll discuss these last two truths on next week. So, and there you can recognize the cessation of the unsatisfactoriness. And you are applying this theory, applying this methodology again and again. So that is a path. That is the Fourth Noble Truth. So likewise, you can use these Four Noble Truths in Kaya Anupassana. Similarly in Vedana Anupassana. Assume that your body is aching. There's a pain. So rather than trying to get rid of this pain, now you can recognize, okay, this is suffering. This is pain. This is painful. That is kind of a unsatisfactoriness. So you recognize that pain. Rather than trying to get rid of it, rather than trying to immediately change the posture and trying to get rid of it, you recognize this pain. So there you are operating on the First Noble Truths. And what is the cause of suffering? So you may have imagined some kind of a free state which is free from this pain. So there's a future inclination towards freedom from this pain. So that is actually adding a new dimension to the pain. The pain may be assumed that it's a kind of bodily pain. Pain is simply at the bodily pain level, but you desired a freedom from that pain. Very satisfied, present experience, or there's an imagined satisfaction, imagined state. So that is actually causing suffering. That is the actual cause of suffering. The real bodily pain is not the real reason of suffering. Rather, you have kind of an imagined state which you couldn't fulfill yet. So that is actually causing suffering. So that is the desire. So that is the desire to become Bhavatanna. So that you can recognize while you are meditating, say while you are doing Vedanupassana. Now assume that this recent desire has been let go of. Now you don't have any mental suffering. Even though body may be going through some pain, still you can observe it with an unshakable mind, with an unwavering mind, with a very equanimous mind. You can observe the existing pain. Now there is no any mental unsatisfactoriness. Now you can recognize this freedom from unsatisfactoriness. And as you are practicing this again and again, so now you are practicing the fourth noble truth. So, to these four noble truths, therefore, regarding the first noble truth, that we need to understand it. Regarding the second noble truth, we need to let go of it. Regarding the third noble truth, we need to realize it. So once the desire has been let go of, once the unsatisfactoriness, dukkha has ceased, so this pleasant state, the calm state, peaceful state has to be recognized. Now this path, this methodology, strategy has to be applied to our own lives again and again. So there is a path. There is a practice that we need to practically do. So that is where the fourth noble truth. So we'll discuss the third and the fourth noble truth on next week. So with that note, I'd like to conclude today's sutta teaching. Now I open the session for questions.